anything like that tonight. It's just what's been on my heart all day. And again, I could probably go longer than I'm going to go this evening, but I'm not going to do that just for the sake of time and respecting you this evening. I just want to share some thoughts out of the book of Psalm chapter 100. You know this psalm as well as me. There's just five little bitty verses in this verse. And these verses here is acknowledged, according to commentary, as a psalm of praise. Amen. If I had time, I would go all the way back through the scripture and we would talk about that. We could talk about Psalm 146, 147, 48, 49, 50, where the Bible admonishes us to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord and praise thee, the Lord. If you and I had to stop tonight and give reasons and thoughts and explain to people at large why we were thankful, I dare say that we would be here till 12 o'clock midnight and we would just barely be scratching the surface. And I use this word quite frequently now because it's a good word to use, but it behooves me to the point of I don't understand why more people are not Christians. Sometimes I don't understand, and I know why, because of the devil. I understand that. We blame the devil on everything. So I do understand that it's because of the flesh and because of the sinful nature and everything that goes into the understanding of that. But yet in the same regard, we think about our lives today. We think about how blessed we are today. As you look back over your life, as you look back over time, and Sherry and I was reminiscing just a little bit before I even came over here tonight of how we got started in church at a very young age. And guess what, friend? We stuck it out. And as an older person now, looking back at our younger years and our late teens into our 20s and serving God, we are so thankful for the pathway that God has led us on and been able tonight to be able to look back over the last so many years, 40 years, and looking at the faithfulness of God. Amen. God is faithful. Actually, 42 years of my life. I got saved when I was 18 years old. And I don't have one regret in serving God. I don't have one thing that I would change as it pertains to serving God. That I've given Him every day of my life, as far as I know, to serve Him the best I know how to serve Him. So this psalmist, when we open up Psalm 100, he opens this up. And this psalm, again, was a psalm that was sung as they went into the tabernacle, as they went into the courts, as they went into the house of the Lord. And as they open up in verse number 1, and we're just going to kindly walk through these. I'm not going to dissect it totally tonight. I'm not going to do that. But one of the first things it opens up, and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Commentary said, no matter what that noise is, sometimes it might just be a brief squawk, if you will. Maybe just something that might not even sound too much like a tune, if you will. Aren't you glad God said noise? Aren't you glad you did not have to sing in a perfect harmonic voice in order to give God praise? But He teaches us in this psalm that God intends, and this is what the commentary said on this, that every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all the way around the universe, every nation, every tongue, every person around the world today can do this one thing, and that is that we can give God glory. You say, well, preacher, what about those people that are mute? And what about those people that cannot talk? I've seen people that are mute do sign language to songs and worship to songs when they could not even open up their mouth. Anybody that hath breath can praise the Lord. So when we start this evening, understanding that this is a psalm that was sung when they went into the tabernacle, if this psalm admonishes us in more than one place through it, that when we come into God's presence, that we ought to be thankful unto Him, that we ought to be grateful unto Him. Amen? I don't understand this pump and prime and beg and plead and somebody please glorify God. I don't understand that. If we would but only stop and think about how good God has been to us, my friend, we all can say amen and glory to God and thank you, Jesus, for your goodness unto us. And He says, all ye lands, verse number 2. I told you I wasn't going to be long with this. And then He says, serve the Lord. I like that. He says, serve the Lord. Serve Him. When I began to read through this, again, it was one of those things that the psalmist reminded whoever came through the gate, whoever came into the courts of the Lord, they were coming there as servants unto Him. They were coming, and not because they had to, not because they were made to, not because of obligation or out of drudgery. But my friend, it was because we have this glorious and awesome opportunity to come to God and to serve Him and to magnify His name and to glorify His name. And He teaches us in this psalm that we are to serve the Lord with sadness. Have you ever seen so many sad faces today? Even in the church. But see, that didn't say sadness, you know that. But He teaches us that we can be glad. Well, what have I got to be glad for, preacher? I got debts, I got bills, I got this, I got that. Things are not going this way. But you know what? We can count our blessings. And you know and I know that we are living in one of the most negative, egocentric societies that we've ever, self-serving societies that we've ever lived in. Just what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? But in all reality, a servant is one, as Jesus said, or excuse me, the psalmist said here, that we serve the Lord as a volunteer. Lord, I am willing to do whatever you called me to do. But He says not to do it out of drudgery, not to do it because somebody's making you, not to do it because you have to. But my friend, it is a powerful opportunity. And this is one of the things that I wish that people would get a hold of. Is that it is a glorious opportunity. How beautiful, how wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, so much the more as you see that day approaching. We should be padlocking the door, keeping people out. No, just kidding. But we should be able to just swing the door open wide on Sunday morning and when we have church on Wednesdays or anytime we have revival that's coming up, because people are so excited to come and serve the Lord in praise and worship and opportunity. But it seems like now people look for excuses not to come to church rather than opportunity to be here, to serve Him, to be together. They broke bread together in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking bread and in fellowship. And this is one of the things I got out of this, is when we come together, we serve the Lord with gladness. We're glad to be here. We're excited about being here. And if I had to ask anybody tonight, are you glad to be in God's house? I would expect and I would hope that everybody here would say, I'm glad to be here. I'd rather be here than in the best hospital in I almost said Union County, in Davidson County. I'd rather be here than anywhere I know of. Because you know why? To be honest with you, because I love you. I like being with you. I enjoy your presence. If we enjoy people's presence, we will spend time with them. And it's not sadness, it's not drudgery, but it's an opportunity to be with them. If we love God, we're looking for opportunities to be with Him. And then He says, come. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. Matthew 11:28. You don't need to turn there. Come. Have you ever seen such a gracious God that would give you and I? Now you think about this for a minute. The God of the universe, the God that hung the moon and the stars and put every star in the socket, has given this finite individual, this mortal individual, and I could get into the Christmas story right there, but I'm not. But he's given us the opportunity to come to him. Have you ever thought about that? We think about it, Brother Tim, on the surface. Oh, it's just church. We're just going to church. We think about it on the surface. But I think sometimes we miss the reality of it. And again, if I was preaching tonight, I'm just exhorting. But if I was preaching tonight, I would say this, that there was something unique. Fonda does that song, The Alabaster Box. That there was something uniquely important about what this woman did when she broke open that alabaster box. She seen what nobody else could see. And I know it was for Jesus' anointing before his burial. I understand all of that, part of it anyway. But she seen him as king. She seen him as Lord. She seen him as master. She seen him as savior. There's an old song that says, I'm not going to sing it, but it's an old song that says, where can I go? Seeking a refuge. I think it's a refuge for my soul. I want you to go home tonight in thanksgiving. Looking at this scripture, he says, come before him. Come before his presence. And I could go on and on about that because in all reality, in all reality, there's not a person, Brother Jeff, in this building or the universe that is worthy enough by themselves to come into God's presence. Think about the book of Revelation. Think about Isaiah. Think about the cherubims and how that they flew, the seraphims, they flew around the heavens and they cried, holy, holy, holy. We're not that kind of people. We're flawed and we got problems and we got hiccups and we got baggage and we got all the stuff that we carry around and all the grudges and all the heartache and all the problems and all the anger and the bitterness and everything. I'm preaching it. I don't even mean to. People bottle all this stuff up. And God says, you can come before me. Bring your burden to the Lord and just leave it there. Come unto me, all ye the burden and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Has anybody ever had a burden? Let's be real tonight. You had something and you thought, God, I cannot take this anymore. I've had all I can take. But God says, come on. Come and let's set a while. Song of Solomon. Go read it. Let's me and you just go and have a talk. Is that not an awesome God? When you're hurting on the inside, when you feel like your heart's about to explode because of what you're carrying, and then you can come to him. Come before his presence. I don't know about you, but I love to sing. I love Brother Tim. We've got a good relationship. I don't want him to feel like I don't want to sing no more. And I'm just dumping it on him because it's in my heart to sing. He loves to sing. You love to sing. Some people don't like to sing. It ain't in them to do that. But God says, come before him with singing, which is a manifestation of our heart. What's going on the inside? You say, well, I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. It don't matter. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Do what you can. You say, well, I don't sing out loud. Well, sing from your heart. Just sing. Just give God the glory that's due his name. The next verse, we see this, and I love this first word. You got to know why you're doing what you're doing. You got to know why you're singing. You got to know the God of the universe. You got to know who you're singing to. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. When I began to look at that psalm this evening, and I began to look over this, and I thought, you know what? You gotta know why you're singing. But the greatest thing, Paul said this in the Word. He said that my goal, my desire, what I want to do is to know Christ and to make him known. Know God. And again, that goes right back to that last verse. I'm so glad that God is not so so that we human beings cannot get to know Him. No, He says, know ye that the Lord, the Master of your life, Lord of your life, He is God. Know who He is. Let me just say this, and this is not in my notes because I ain't really got no notes, but I know where I'm headed anyway. I thought it through. I'm glad to know this verse. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And I'm glad to know tonight who I'm singing to. I'm glad, and I'll get into it in the latter verse of this, but I'm glad to know tonight why we assemble together on this Tuesday night. Why I'm thankful. Has God ever done anything for anybody in the room? We ought to leave this place tonight knowing who has brought us through. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. On your darkest day, on your most distraught day, you can cry out to Jesus Christ, my friend, and He will be there for you and with you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And He said in the Word that I would never leave thee. And you may be here tonight, and you might have walked into this room discouraged, and you might have walked in this room wondering, God, where are you? And I believe there's people even now that's searching to find God. My favorite verse in all the Bible could be John 3:16, but mine is Jeremiah 29:13. It says, seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Because God can be found. Our answer's not in a society today. Our answer's not in the world today. And I want Jesus to become again, and this is Pastor Green speaking, I want Jesus to become ever more real to me, so much more realer to me than He is even right now, because I want to know Him. Sometimes we get cold. Sometimes we get into a rut. Sometimes we get into a routine. Say, how do you know that, preacher? I think I got the prize-winning t-shirt. Sometimes we just go through the motion, don't we? Shake your little head, yes, because you know it's the truth. But when we know Him, when we know Him, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Watch this. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Somebody says, I'm a self-made millionaire. Really? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the wisdom, the knowledge? Who kept you healthy? God did it. Not we ourselves. I wonder why that's there. I've often thought about this because there's studies and things that I've read and studies that I've looked into. This is a tough one. It's really hard. There's this issue, I guess, is the only way I can talk about it, and it's a thing called codependency. I think I'm codependent. I think we're all codependent to some degree, but as it comes to God, Brother Tim, I'm codependent. I've got to have Him. I've got to have Him. But you know what? I think God's a little bit codependent. You say, what are you talking about in this context? Because God went to look for Adam and Eve in the garden. Because He wanted fellowship with them. He wanted to be with them. There was something about this coming together that was very important to God too. God wanted to be with His creation. And He says in this psalm, He says, know we that He is the Lord, that He made us, that we're not of ourselves, for we are His people. And all the church said, amen. We're His people. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to humanity. I belong to Him. As we talked about John 10, and again, I don't have time to go into all that, but we're the sheep of His pasture. He's our manager. John 15, I just got through with most of that. He's the gardener. He takes care of the garden. We belong to Him? Question mark. Do you belong to God tonight? Do you have the nature and the characteristics of your Heavenly Father that would be proven evidence on the witness stand that you belong to God tonight? Do you have enough evidence in your life tonight to say, I'm God's child? Does the Holy Spirit dwell within you, and you got heaven's DNA running through your spiritual veins tonight? You see what I'm saying? And he says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Once again, Psalm 23 talks about this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd, and I know my shepherd's going to take care of me, and I don't have to be in want because I got a good shepherd. Jesus said that in the book of John. I am the good shepherd. So when we leave this place this evening, you look at all the things I've already mentioned. Why am I going to have a good Thanksgiving? Why am I going to be able to say, thank you, Jesus? Why am I going to leave this place tonight thankful? Because of who Jesus is. Verse 4 goes on, and we love this as well. But we'll get into the meat of this in just a minute. He says in verse number 4, and this is the meat of it. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Again, when you read this in the commentary, it talked about entering in to his gates. Entering in. There was the outer court and the inner court. The outer court was where you came through the gate. You came into the door of the sanctuary, if you will. And as you entered to his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the key that unlocks the door that's going to get you into the inner courts. We start on the outside and we say, Father, we thank you. It's amazing that a lot of times when we pray, and I'm guilty too, but one of the first things we do is we hand God our Santa Claus list and we say, do this, do this, do this, do this, like he's some type of pie in the sky and he's going to meet all of our Santa Claus list. God says, no, I want your praise. I want your thanks. And God, throughout the universe, throughout the scripture, and throughout the book of Revelation, guess what they were doing in heaven? They were praising God. They were glorifying God. They were magnifying God. And somehow we got this twisted around that when we do the things, and I know, I understand that we come to God because the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it'll be opened unto you. But this psalm teaches us that we're to enter into his presence with thanksgiving. To give God, I just got a crazy thought. What would it be if we took the first 5 minutes of every service, Brother Jeff, and we didn't do nothing but just thank God? Before we played a drum, before we hit a key, before we done anything, we're just going to stand here and magnify God and thank God. That would drive some people almost insane. But not us, because we know why we're doing it. Well, what are they doing that for? I wish they'd hurry up and get done. You know, I got things to do. That roast is getting hot in the crock pot. I'm getting ready to get on downtown, you know. But if we think about the goodness of God, let me meddle for just a second. When I was just starting the church in Waynesville, and Sandra, I didn't know bit more what I was doing to man the moon. And the only thing I knew to do was just to get in God's presence and just plead my cases before God. And I would cry and I would weep and I would worship and I'd lay in the floor and I'd squall and I'd get up and I'd shout and I'd have a good time. And this sometimes would go on especially all day on Friday. And there was something about getting in God's presence that molded my life and shaped my life. Even now, I remember those days. Even now, I remember those things. And I think just me, and it might just be me, but I think this is something that we've sort of gotten away from in the church. It's just a time that we can set aside. And I know Pentecostal worship. We think we have to be doing something all the time. Don't we? But I think there's something even special about just coming into God's presence and just sitting and praying and being thankful and magnifying his name as we enter into his presence. Now, I could talk on about that for a while, but I won't. I'll skip on. Because I've already talked a lot longer than I thought I would. So he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. As we have what set aside as the thanksgiving that we celebrate the Thanksgiving Thursday, the last Thursday of November, to celebrate our country and the establishment of our country and the pilgrims and the Indians and everything and the Geneva Bible that they brought over with them. And later they brought over the King James Bible, and how we celebrate all of those things that we celebrate this Thursday. Don't forget when you're eating that turkey that it is God that provided that turkey for us. You say, well, that's a little flashy, preacher. But you know what? A lot of times we just gobble down, don't we? We just dig in. And a lot of times we miss the very fact that God is the one that provides for us. Move quickly into his courts, the inner courts. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Bless him. Thank him. Worship him. The last verse. What does it say? Why do we do this? It tells us. It tells us there's about four things that the commentary pointed, four or five things that in this verse that the commentary pointed out. First of all, for the Lord is good. We sing that song, there ain't no God like Jehovah. And all of us can say there's no God like him. And everybody in this room and everybody listening to me, and there's a lot of people at home that are not listening to me, I understand that. The weather was bad and it's Tuesday night, I understand all that. And I'm certainly not complaining. But even people at home, they can sit there on their couch and they can sit there in their living room and they can sit there with their iPads and their phones and their TVs and their YouTubes and all that. And we can think of 100 different reasons or more just to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for being so good to us, your people. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, your people. When we think about this, he says, why are we so thankful? His mercy. His mercy. What is his mercy? The definition of mercy. I've said it many times here. Mercy is this. God not given us what we truly do deserve. Friend, when you put that in perspective, thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you know it. And this is, again, admonishing us to give thanks unto him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Good things, bad things, good days, bad days, difficult days, not so good days. Why? Two verses are going to explain this to you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will for you and me as Christians to be thankful people. This next verse is found in Ephesians 5:20. And then I'm done. I love this verse. Because he said, giving thanks always. This is New Testament. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God deserves our thanks. He deserves it tonight. Amen? Because of why, preacher? Because of who you are, Lord. Because of who he is. He has done more for you and myself than we could ever be thankful for. Has God done anything for anybody tonight? You got a quick word. I'm not asking for a sermon. Quick word of testimony. Anybody at all? Sister West.
Yeah,
Amen. Amen. Thank God for the healing touch on Sister West and her life. Amen. Anybody else? I'm not going to drag it out. You just want to say a quick thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Lord, Brother Russell.
Thank you, Lord, that I'm here.
Amen. Amen.
And I have another Thanksgiving to praise Him for.
Amen. Thank God. It can be different.
Amen.
It can be a lot different.
A lot different.
I love that guy right there. Rocky?
Pastor, I want to thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Come on, come on, church. Give God glory. Amen. People online can't hear what's going on. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for His blessings. Anyone else? Barbara?
I want to thank God today because my husband, my children, my grandchildren, my grandchildren, they're spouses, they're all here
Amen. 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 Come on now. Thank God. Thank God for family blessings. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? Penny. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, Brother Slate. Anyone else? I'm not going to cut nobody off. Jody? Amen. Come on, church. Amen. See, this is good for the soul tonight. You're going to leave here different than you came. Amen. I could sing that song too, but I won't. Anybody else? Thank God. Amen. I know we're still online, and I have to be very careful in some of the things I say up here. But just continue to pray for Sherry and I. I'll just say this and leave it where it's at because I know I'm online. I have to be discreet. But Aaron's in a safe place. We really worried for a couple of weeks how things was going to work out. But he's in a safe place, and we're just thanking God that that's one thing we're not having to really worry about right now today. We still got a long way to go, and, you know, just be much in prayer for that situation. And our daughter and her husband, we just ask God to orchestrate their lives and get them babies in church and get them on the right path. And we're so thankful that God has been good to us. And I told somebody today that I was so thankful for you, this church, Thomasville Church of God. Just continue to love each other. Continue to be faithful to the Lord. You guys be safe when you leave here tonight. Be alert, dear. I don't say that lightly. Deer everywhere, so be careful on your way home, and just be careful as you go. In Jesus' name, we love you. So, Father, we thank you and we give you glory and honor and praise for your goodness, God, that you've given us through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father God, for all your bountiful blessings upon us, Lord. Be with our church family as they go over the next several days and have a few days of rest and a time with family. And just be with us, Father, as we be found faithful to do the will of God in all that we endeavor to do, Father. Keep us safe as we travel and be with those, God, that's in loss right now with family members passing. Holy Spirit, would you just wrap your arms around them. Be with them, Father. God, we glorify your name and we thank you in advance for that you're doing. In Jesus' name, and all the people of God said,